We're going to listen to an interview or watch an interview now with Mike Parker. Mike works with SIM in the Middle East, has done that for a number of years, but was rector of St. Thomas's many years ago, and is now the interim minister in South Queensferry at the Priory Church. So I did an interview with him yesterday, and we're going to watch that together now.
Morning to you, Dave, and morning to all the friends at St. Thomas's.
Great that you've been able to join us this morning for our worship. We're recording this on Saturday morning. Mike, how have you and Helen been? How is the last... We're at 10 weeks or something now, aren't we? Or 9 weeks of this. How has it been for you?
I think Helen has enjoyed much of it. She's enjoyed the quietness. We've enjoyed the walking. We've enjoyed talking to neighbours like we've never talked before in this very private corner of Edinburgh. I found myself very frustrated at the beginning and was all for still visiting and saying, come on, it's much more important to visit than it is to worry about the potential consequences. Now I see the wisdom of that, but I was sulking for the first 2 or 3 weeks, being a pastoral visitor who can't visit, and then obviously learning to visit better using screens and WhatsApps and phones and stuff. So it's been up and down a bit. I think it seems long now, and some days we're pretty weary. Other days are quiet, and some are very full on. And we're aware that both in local church in South Queensferry that we're looking after as interim minister and in the Middle East SIM network, we've got lots of thinking to do about what might be next.
So tell us a little bit about the Middle East then. One of the things we have been thinking about is the news. We don't really hear very much about what's happening in the rest of the world. We really have to go and track that down. So what is happening in the Middle East that would be helpful for us to know about that we might pray about?
Yeah, that's a good instinct. I mean, there is other news. There really is. There is a world out there, and it's not all about this virus. The trouble is you have to search for the news. You have to find it on different places because we're not getting it generally. Though these last couple of days we've heard something about Hong Kong and, of course, the plane that crashed in Pakistan. These things break into the news, but it's a struggle. At one level, our friends in the Middle East are facing similar things to us. There are virus outbreaks. Different countries where we have colleagues are responding in different ways. Egypt is the largest population and the most tightly packed where they're living. So my fear is that they're sitting on a time bomb, really, that the idea of social distancing culturally is just off the radar. And given the way so many people are living and so tightly together, we wonder what will happen. They've dealt with it by curfews and so on, which is the way that they've also dealt with it in Jordan. They seem to be as on top of things as you could expect, and the government have got to grips with many things. They've done it by a mixture of curfews through the night and then relatively open in the day sometimes. But occasionally, like this weekend, they just shut everything for the long weekend and you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. Mm. Lebanon is the really worrying one. I mean, Egypt and Jordan, for example, other countries, they are essentially dictatorships and you do what you're told. So it's much more difficult to lead through this in a democracy, and it's much more difficult to lead it in a scattered tribal country like Lebanon, which has collapsed financially. They had their revolution October time last year and onwards. It was a popular revolution, and it was a revolution against corruption. Lebanon's one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And now the economy has gone into meltdown. And again, the issue is corruption. And the symptom is the value of their Lebanese pound, the lira, which used to be tied to the dollar, but that tie has broken. And hunger is stalking the land. There is disease. There is real fear of that. But at the moment, because Lebanon's so tribal, it's not really overtaken the country. We hear that Syrians who have fled to Lebanon are being threatened that if they appear to be sick, they will be deported. But what that means is they will be dumped on the border because the Syrian regime won't take them back. So there's lots of dangerous winds blowing there. And lastly, in Syria itself, the fighting continues. And the Turks have moved in. That's shifted a lot of people in the north, including a lot of Kurds. And amongst them, there are some Christian brothers and sisters too, and some church groups. So the stakes are pretty high, as well as the virus.
It's so helpful to hear that, and to for us to have that wider perspective, and also to know how to pray for the wider world. And we think we have things difficult here, but it is as nothing compared to what other people are experiencing and suffering. In fact. Mm. We're, having said that, we're in a strange time as well, because the Christian festival that we're celebrating at the moment is the Ascension of Jesus. I was saying during the week that it's a much underplayed festival in Christian series of festivals, but it's actually one of the most important that we should take more recognition of. But our Muslim friends are also celebrating a festival. Can you just tell us a little bit about that? Because people might not know about this very much.
Okay, yeah. They've been fasting in what they call the month of Ramadan until tomorrow, if they get sight of the moon. It's a lunar calendar. But it's likely to be tomorrow that our Muslim friends finish their 30 days of fasting. That's fasting during the daytime. So no drinking, no food. No smoking, no sexual relations if they're married. All that is put on hold during the daytime. And then customarily in the nighttime, they get together with family and they feast. Of course, the mosque is a major feature of that in the Middle East and here. And of course, both family and mosque have been off the radar this time. So even for them, this has been really weird. Remember, in Scotland, look how late it is before it gets dusk or even dark. These are long, long days. Mm. So they really want to come to the end of this month and to celebrate and to give thanks. The heart of the month is concentrated prayer because they want to know where they stand before God. And this is the really poignant bit. There's such duty, such energy, such discipline actually going in to an almost desperate longing to know where they stand with God. Are they welcome in God's presence? Have they done enough? Have they done the right things? And it's kind of close, but it's so far from what we would want to say to them. The other day, on Tuesday night, was the night that they call the night of power or the night of destiny, where they remember that the first verses of the Quran were given to Muhammad by a revelation, as they believe. And they use that night to put in extra prayer and make commitments for extra giving and extra charitable things, and believing that what they do on that night is worth 1,000 months of fasting and praying and giving. Extraordinary discipline. So it's a really good time to be praying with our friends. By the way, if you've got Muslim neighbors, our post office man across the road, he's been fasting, and their Pakistani family in the general store down the hill. So later on, I'm going to go and buy a tray of really sticky things, sticky pastries or something, and give them to them and tell them, Eid Mubarak. Eid is the festival. Mubarak means blessing. So may God bless you at the festival time.
Brilliant. And that's good, good advice to us. My favourite Muslim friends are not accessible at the moment very much because they run the local barber shop, and that's really hard. And I always, every year I try to be kind to them, and it's difficult because the shop is just closed up. And so we need to pray. We need to pray for our Muslim friends.
What we're saying is let's pray for them, that they will find what they're looking for, but not where they're looking. Mm. May they find it in the true revelation of Jesus Christ, the whole story about God, who, as the UK blessing says so powerfully, he is for us. He is for us.
Okay, I mean, we're talking about prayer. How can we pray for you and Helen right now, just to close?
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, I think the link between the end of Ramadan, the Eid, and Ascension is really significant. In Cairo, I think some of you know that we made a big deal. We had, of course, Christmas and, of course, Easter. But Ascension, Pentecost, and Trinity, these three weekends in the Christian calendar, they say a huge amount about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the great mystery. And again, for our Muslim friends, the great struggle. What is the Trinity? What do you mean? Don't you have three gods? How does this work? And for us to take those opportunities, and for our friends and colleagues still in the Middle East, pray for them. They are with the churches. They want to be effective witnesses. A number of them, especially in Jordan, have studied Arabic very hard for 2 years and are now trying to think what they should do next. But in this context, how can they work out what to do next? Who with? Where? Mm. And many of them had plans to be out for some months during the Northern Hemisphere summer to connect with family, connect with churches, connect with supporters. And of course, whose plans will happen now? Nobody knows. And there are lots of decisions to be made. So pray for us that we'll be really helpful with our colleagues in supporting them through difficult decisions and choices at this point. Yeah. I think for Helen and me, we are, like so many, longing to see the kids and the grandkids again and wondering how on earth we're going to do that, when it will be and on what basis. They're doing okay, but some of the younger ones are really struggling. And we're acutely aware that this is also a time of opportunity, and we don't want to miss the opportunities. But some days we're weary, and we need to just let them go. And that's the ascension again, isn't it? Because it's the Lord. He is ascended. He is in charge. He is governing, even when it doesn't look like it sometimes.
Very true. And it's a lesson, a message that we keep receiving again and again. The Lord is in charge, and even today in our worship today we'll be thinking about that. So Mike, thank you so much for giving us your time and sharing with us. That's been so helpful. We will keep you in prayer.
Thank you. Bless you. Thank you very much. We pray for you too.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.